I'm going to ask you again to open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. You know, folks, when we look at the world today, we see that families are in trouble. We have a lot of families that are just dealing with such awful circumstances. And why is it that so many families are in a mess? I mean, there is a God. His word has been revealed. And how is it that we're not seeing the success that God says we can have? Well, obviously, the reason is because we're not listening. We're not listening to him. Now, Proverbs chapter 1 reveals to us the author right in very verse 1. He says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now, you probably know that Solomon was a very great king. He was also the son of a great king. That means that he was pretty famous. He was very powerful. He was supreme throughout the whole land. People adored him. People bowed to him. And they did whatever he wanted. He was the king. He was their immense authority in that land. Now keep your finger here in Proverbs chapter 1. And I'm going to ask you to turn back, please, to 1 Kings chapter 2. If you don't keep your finger here, you'll never get back to it. 1 Kings chapter 2. Now in 1 Kings chapter 2, I just want us to look at a brief encounter between Solomon and his mom. You know, you think of great men like that, you don't think, well, they had moms too. And this is an encounter with Solomon and his mom, Bathsheba. 1 Kings chapter 2. Now, in verses 13 to 18, we have the story of Adonijah. This was a half-brother of the king. And Adonijah was asking Bathsheba if she would intervene on his behalf before the king. And Bathsheba said, okay, I'll do that. And so she went in to her son. And the encounter is recorded in verse 19, where it says, Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her, and bowed himself unto her, and sat down on his throne, and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand. So how did the greatest king in the world at the time, the most powerful, the most wise king, how did he treat his mom? You remember who Bathsheba was, right? I mean, when you think of Bathsheba, you don't think, you know, of this pure, chaste, wonderful person in the Bible, right? I mean, Bathsheba goes along with kind of a sordid tale, doesn't it? Kind of a low life and a low part of David's life. Bathsheba married David under some very ugly circumstances, right? Mostly in the part of David, of course. But it was very displeasing to God. But she was still Solomon's mom. And 1 Kings 2 tells us that when his mother entered the room, that this king, for whom multitudes would rise at his presence, this king rose to meet his mom. And then this king, before whom the multitudes would bow in his presence, this king actually bowed to his mom when she came into the room. And then he actually called for another throne. Another throne to be set right next to his, so that he could be close to his mom as they talked. She was his mother. And folks, even kings should show respect to their moms when their moms are around. Now, was Solomon perfect? No, he wasn't perfect. As a matter of fact, sadly for Adonijah, he killed Adonijah. But anyway, at least she went and talked on his behalf. But God guided the insights of this man and preserved them for us in the book of Proverbs. And what we have in the passage we're going to be dealing with, if you want to jump back to Proverbs chapter 1, what we're going to be dealing with in Proverbs chapter 1 is God's instruction for a home that honors Him. And if you're a believer in Christ today, that should be your desire, that you have a home that honors God. So Proverbs chapter 1, let's look at what he tells us in verses 7 to 9. First he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Now there are several things that we can learn in this particular passage, and they all relate to our relationship to God. Folks, this is not the wisdom that you might get from watching Oprah or Dr. Phil. You're not going to read about this in Dear Abby or Parent Magazine. This is divine revelation, right? This is God's word. This is God's wisdom. And folks, it's the absence of God's wisdom that, especially in this area of family advice, that has really resulted in the turmoil that we see throughout our country today. Families are a mess because we have neglected what God has told us to do. Solomon wants us to hear his counsel, not from him, but as from the Lord. This is God's wisdom. And so he begins by establishing a foundation upon which every home must be built. Look again at verse 7. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Folks, this is the basis for the father's instruction as well as for the mother's law that is mentioned in the very next verse. This is what gives unity to the daily explaining, and if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about, the daily explaining and correcting and disciplining and discipling and counseling by parents. The foundation needs to be the fear of God, the fear of the Lord. Now, this phrase is actually used over 100 times in the Old Testament. 14 of those times is right here in this book of Proverbs. And it's very important. It's a very important concept. And what it describes, folks, is this reverential attitude of submission, of adoration, obedience, and love to the Lord. That's what the fear of the Lord is. It's not referring to this constant feeling of terror. What it's referring to is a fear of offending the God that you ought to love. Right? That's the idea of the fear of the Lord. Now, unbelievers in the Old Testament are described as not having the fear of the Lord. They have no concern about God. They have no concern about His ways. And when you look at just at the 14 occurrences that are in the book of Proverbs, it becomes clear that this phrase has a direct correlation to the Christianity of the New Testament. And so a God-fearer in the Old Testament would be the same as a Christian in the New Testament. It would be an equivalent to. A God-fearer, for instance, hates evil, Proverbs 8:13. A God-fearer has God's wisdom, that's in Proverbs 9, verse 10. A God-fearer's days are prolonged, Proverbs 10:27. God-fearers have their confidence and refuge in the Lord, Proverbs 14:26. God-fearers have escaped the snares of death, Proverbs 14:27. And of course, all those things can be said of true believers in Jesus Christ. They can be said of all who are saved. And so this is foundational to having success in any home. The Lord has got to be the foundation of your home if it's going to be successful. People are crying out. You see it. They're crying out for answers. What do? I want to go to a seminar. I need to go to some program to try to save my family. And they're just looking for peace and unity. And folks, we've had the answer for centuries in the Word of God. He's revealed it to us. From the God-inspired pen, here of the wisest men in the Old Testament. Do we want that knowledge? Well, that knowledge comes to those that fear the Lord, that truly love the Lord, or as the New Testament refers to it, those who are saved, those who have believed in and trusted in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ as their only means of having their sins forgiven. and receiving eternal life. I think that most of us understand that Jesus came to this world because the world was in great need of a Savior. He came because all men were deemed sinful because of their nature. And in that condition, all men will end up in hell. The only way a person can escape the penalty of hell is through the work that God provided through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the only way that we can be saved. And that's what He's talking about here, right? Have you done that? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Was there a time that you recognized that before God you were a sinner? And that in that condition you deserve to go to the place He created called hell and ultimately the lake of fire? Have you done that and realized that you had to go to Him and believe in Him to be rescued from that? If you haven't, we would love to be able to share with you how you can know for sure, how you can be confident that if you were to die, that God would welcome you into His presence based upon the work of His Son. But that's what a God-fearer was. That's what a Christian is today. That's what a true Christian has done in their lives. And folks, that's the answer to pretty much all of our problems. You know, that seems really simple because it is. All of our problems, the things that we consider problems, can find their solution in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Every single one of them. Whatever turmoil or chaos or confusion or disturbance you may be experiencing in your home, those things are because you've laid a wrong foundation. You've laid a wrong foundation. Again, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He has to be the foundation. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 that the only true foundation that can be laid is Jesus Christ. He is, we sing, that firm foundation. He never fails us. He is the strength that all of us need to be able to build strong families for Him. Psalm 127 in verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that built it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, true biblical knowledge. It is the foundation of a godly home. If we don't have that foundation, we'll not have the kind of home that God would have us to have. And it's the only hope of raising a generation that is honoring to the Lord and that is righteous before Him. Well, what's the alternative? Well, the rest of verse 7 says this, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools, you know, Psalm 14, verse 1 says this, that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. God considers someone that doesn't believe in Him a fool. So if in our context, the God-fearer would be a New Testament Christian, then what would an Old Testament fool be considered in the New Testament? An unbeliever. Right? He would be an unbeliever. He'd still be a fool, right? But he would be considered an unbeliever. And obviously, by the tone of the passage here, God does not want our homes producing fools. And unfortunately, that happens, doesn't it? Even in Christian homes will produce fools sometimes. And that's not God's desired intent. He wants us to produce God-fearers. He wants us to produce, by His grace, Christians who will receive spiritual knowledge and then use it to build other godly Christian homes. We need to be on guard not to produce fools who will despise and show contempt for the things of God, for His wisdom and for His instruction. Folks, we see that every day you turn on the news. There's always evidence of that going on in our country today. And listen, if your home is not built on Christ now, then there is hope to do that today. That's a great thing about God. He's always there, always ready, right, to help you to be what He would want you to be. And I'll say a little bit more about that in a little bit. So with God being the foundation of our homes, what instruction does Solomon have for us? Well, look at verse 8. He says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, there's a lot in that verse. I just want to highlight a couple of things for today, though. First, we see that the building and the instructing of the family is supposed to be a joint effort. You see that? It doesn't say fathers teach and mothers, you just change diapers. Or it doesn't say dads, you just go to work and mothers, you instruct the children. No, what that verse is telling us is this is a joint effort between mom and dad. Children need to see that mom and dad are on the same page when it comes to that. Both mother and father are supposed to have a part in the training of their children. We need to see that as not just an obligation, but as a necessity for the proper growth of our children. Folks, that's the Bible way. And so that will have that will have the greatest effect on building homes for the Lord Jesus Christ. Mothers and fathers. And you know what? As moms and dads, we ought to consider it a privilege as well as a serious responsibility that the both of us train our children up for the Lord. Now, I know that there are cases where a spouse isn't saved, and that's very difficult in that situation. But, I mean, in a Christian home where both parents are saved, both parents are responsible for this. They're responsible for biblical training. Now, keep your finger here and now jump way back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Moses emphasizes this very point to the children of Israel. And I won't read the whole section. The whole section deals with it. But let's just look at verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. He said, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You know what, folks? That's biblical education. That's God. That's parents teaching their children about God. Mothers and fathers are both responsible for that in the home. Now, jump back to Proverbs chapter 1 again. So moms and dads are responsible, but look at what he says also in verse 8. This verse teaches that mothers and fathers are responsible to teach, but it also teaches that children are responsible to what? To what? To hear it, right? You know what that means? Can you hear me? Okay, it's the idea. It's not just the idea of words going into your ear and acknowledging words are going in. All right? It's not just hearing. Because you know you can hear and not listen. Yeah, and what he's talking about here is hearing with the responsibility and intent of obeying and applying. All right? That's what he's telling children. Children, when your moms and dads give you the word of God and instruct you on how you ought to behave, you need to listen and apply that and obey your mom and dad. And so they're responsible to obey. Now, there are actually two aspects to this in this verse, isn't there, that are mentioned here. Two areas of behavior that are mentioned here. Two time frames, if you will. And one is when a child is at home, and the other is when he is away from home. The first part of the verse is talking about in the home. And I think that it should be very clear that when young people are still living in their homes, the Bible commands young people to hear. That is, it commands them to take in that information, to give attention to that information with the intent of obeying it. When mom and dad tell you something, you just do it. I grew up in an unsaved home, but I had the fear of my parents in me. And if they said to do something, I was always inclined to do it. Just out of self-preservation. Right? Just because I knew there would be consequences if I did not. And that's important. Can I say this too? This is an aside. This is free. That our kids need to learn there are consequences for their actions. Good consequences, bad consequences, right? Again, when you see the news and you see all of those crowds and crowds of people, those people have never been taught there are consequences for their actions. They have to learn the hard way. And many of them learn the hard way, but they need to be taught this at home. And so as children, they are obligated to obey their moms and dads. All of you children here, you are under the authority of your mom or your dad or some guardian. You are responsible to obey them before God. God is the one that said that. And you're supposed to do it with honor. You know, God's commandment to children in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 is to honor your mother and your father. Right? That means to respectfully honor them, respectfully obey them. A child who rebels against this, you know what God calls them? I already said it. They're fools. They are fools. They are rebels in God's eyes. Listen, all of you here that are children, young people, while you are at home, you are to willingly and respectfully obey what your mom and dad say. That's from God. That's what will give peace and growth in your home when you obey what God says. But how about this when you're away from home? You know, it's a common desire for young people to get out from under the authority of their mom and dad every now and then. That's very common. To get out from under that watchful care. And it's a natural desire as they get older to be more independent. But you know, a common temptation of young people when they're away is to forsake the things that their mom and dad teach them. And that's the fear of probably every parent, that they would do that. Now, we have got to be vigilant and diligent in teaching. And unfortunately, once our children are gone, you know, we can't make them do what we want them to do. And I love the illustration he gives in the Psalm 127, where children are like arrows in a mighty man. And you know, they take that arrow, and you can nurture that arrow, you can refine that arrow in the hopes of it going as straight as possible. But let me tell you something. When you let the arrow go, you have very little control over it. Right? The winds, any of the environmental things that could affect it on its way, you can only hope that the preparation that you put into it prior to it launching will cause it to hit the bullseye. And that's what we're to do, and that's all we can do. But our hope is that they won't forsake. But those of you that are our children here today, that's God's command to you. He gave you your mom and dad to teach you the things that you have learned so that when you leave, you'll not forsake them, but that you'll adhere to them and behave like God would have you to behave. Ladies, if you're like my wife, your young person doesn't go anywhere. If they're going to go away, whether it's supervised or not, they don't leave without some kind of speech. You know the speech? I've heard it. I always heard the speech. And you probably gave the speech. It can go anywhere from 5 to 45 minutes. You know? And basically what the speech is, it's just you teaching them everything you've ever taught them all their lives in a short period of time. Right? Same thing that you teach them all the time. Remember to say yes, ma'am. Remember, don't reach. No fighting. Right, I had boys, so we said that a lot, right? Be polite, act responsibly, be a good testimony. So that's just part of the list, right, that you would give to your children. Young people, if you fear God really, those are the things that will be in your mind when you're away from your mom and dad, when you're visiting a friend, right? Or when you move out of the house, these are things that God would have you to not forsake. If you're a Christian young man or a Christian young lady, you'll make it a point to adhere to and obey these things your parents have taught you. You'll not forsake them. But a fool, on the other hand, a fool will forsake them. A fool will despise wisdom. A fool despises instruction. And young people, if you are constantly falling to the temptation to rebel against your mom and dad, against your parents, either in the home or away from the home, the problem's not mom and dad. The problem is a heart of rebellion. The heart is the problem is maybe you're not even saved. Maybe you don't even know the Lord is your Savior. Or maybe it's because you do know, but you've backslidden. You've allowed your flesh to control your emotions and your decisions. But you can take care of that. God has always got his arms open. He will either save you, or he will reconcile you to himself if you're saved. But you need to desire that. You need to have a desire for that. And what a blessing that would be to mom. If there was somebody here that has strayed from the Lord or hasn't been saved or is backslidden. What a blessing to mom it would be for you to say, you know what, I want to get right with God. I want to either be saved or I want to turn my life around so that I can live for him. I'm telling you what, it'll make your mom thrilled. It's better than the plant you're going to get her. Right? I mean, this is going to be something that's going to be really good. But finally, in verse 9, I just want us to see the promise. Of course, in verse 8, Solomon exhorts parents to kind of team teach. And he exhorts children that they would obey from the home and away from the home. But then verse 9, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Now, folks, what he's telling us here is that God rewards those who fear him, who strive to abide in his ways. And the they he's referring to in verse 9 is the instruction he's talking about in verse 8. Those are the things that will be a beautiful thing. These things will beautify our countenance as believers as we adhere to them for the Lord. Now, in closing, let me ask you this. What is the foundation of your home? What is the foundation of your home? If the fear of the Lord is not the basis for directing your family, I'm just telling you, your home will end up spiritually shipwrecked. It will. Our focus has to be upon him. But if God has revealed to you this need in your life, then you could receive his promise this morning. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, do you know that you could leave this place knowing that if you were to die, you would be welcomed into heaven by God himself because you have believed on the work his son accomplished for you? But maybe you're here, you are saved. You've let the distractions of this world cause you to swerve from the path God would have you to be on. Well, the great thing is God is always there to forgive. He's always there to reestablish that relationship with you. He always wants to be there like the prodigal son and the father. If the fear of the Lord isn't there, why don't you make it there? You could receive this promise of God this morning. Maybe here there's a son or a daughter, maybe a mom or a dad that has never truly believed in Christ. They've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. You don't have that confidence of receiving eternal life. Well, that's where it all starts. That's how you develop a home that's honoring to the Lord. And we'd love to be able to show you how to do that, how you can be right with God, and how can you develop a home just for that. But you can do that before we leave. Maybe you're a son or daughter who claims to know Christ, but you've yielded to the temptation of this world. You've become a rebel. You become one that is tempted and fallen away from the Lord. You have a problem with hearing. You have a problem with forsaking. Maybe God has spoken to your heart. We want to be able to help you in whatever your need is. Let me tell you something, folks. Strong families are what make a strong church. Right? If our families are not for Christ, if our families are not based upon the fear of the Lord, then that puts the church on shaky grounds. And so we need to pray and determine that we want our homes to be built upon the foundation of Christ. And what that means is obeying his commands, the responsibilities that moms have, dads have, that children have in accomplishing his work. If there's anything that we can do for you to help you to draw closer to the Lord, as we leave here today, why don't you just say, hey, look, I'm interested. I'd like to know more about that. And we would love to spend time with you. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, We thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we thank you for our moms. Our prayer, Lord, is that you would bless each one of them today as they have opportunity to be around some of their family, as they have opportunity to think of the many blessings you have bestowed upon them. I pray, Lord, that you would minister your grace to them in a special way, that they would continue to be what they ought to be for you. I do pray, Lord, for the children in this assembly. Lord, I know that the devil's desire would be to really hinder them in their walk. I know that he would desire to keep them from getting saved if they're not saved yet. His desire, Lord, would be to create problems in the home so as to render each family ineffective in the work of God. But, Lord, we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I do pray, Father, that we would believe that, that we would depend upon that, and that we would see the glory of our Savior in the truth of your word. Lord, I pray that as we go our ways this afternoon, that you would go with us. Help us to be mindful of your goodness. Help us to be thankful of what you have given to us. And Lord, I do pray that you would work in hearts, that you would bring us back again tonight as we have opportunity to look in your word once again. Lord, we want to do it for your glory. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.